The following is a sermon by Pastor Ralph Abernathy of Mount Olive Lutheran Church, located in Newton, North Carolina.
In the name of Jesus, amen. You know very well the words from Ecclesiastes, "For everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. There's a time to keep silence, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time for war, and a time for peace." If you were here at our Shrove Tuesday pancake supper last night, you experienced a time of joy, a time of fellowship when we, the people of God in this congregation, and a few others, gathered together to celebrate the end of the Epiphany season and have a big meal, you know, pancakes and butter and syrup and jelly and bacon and sausage, etc., etc., etc. And it was a good time. People hung around. People talked. People enjoyed one another. It was a time for joy, time for happiness, a time for fellowship. But now, on this Ash Wednesday, we enter into a season when it's a time to mourn. It's a time to weep. It's a time to recollect our sins. And the great penalty that we deserve on account of our sins, on account of our sinful nature. It is time to recognize that by our sins, we haven't just merely hurt God's feelings or slightly insulted Him. We have offended Him, greatly offended Him. We have separated ourselves from God on account of our sins that spring from the sinful nature inherited from Adam. And what is the proper response to this reality of our sin and the death that we deserve? It's to sit up. It's to take notice. It's to hear the sobering diagnosis of God's law that pronounces us guilty, that pronounces us as dead in trespass and sins, and that shows us our helplessness and our hopelessness before God to do anything at all about that. In the psalm we used this evening, the psalm that we spoke, we heard the confession of a man who knew his sin, who knew what a great offense that sin was to God, a man who was crushed by God's law, and a man who confessed that he had indeed sinned against the Lord. The psalm was written by King David. And the occasion upon which he wrote this psalm was after his sin of adultery with another man's wife, one of the soldiers in his army, Uriah. And how, in order to take this woman, Bathsheba, as his own, and in order to conceal his sin when she became pregnant, ordered Uriah's death in battle. Oh, there were contrivances before then, ways to make it appear that the child that David had begotten with Bathsheba was Uriah's own, but when those didn't work, David marked him out as a dead man, one who was going to die in the attempt to conceal David's and Bathsheba's sin. After the appropriate period of time, David took Bathsheba as his wife. Everyone assumed the child she was carrying was Uriah's child. Everyone probably praised the king. Oh, here's a hero who died in battle. And look, our king is providing for his widow. He's providing for Uriah's child by marrying her, by taking her into his palace. And David was satisfied that he had gotten away with it, that no one knew about his sin. But the Lord knew, Scripture says. And the Lord was displeased. And so the Lord sent the prophet Nathan to David to bring David to repentance, that he might confess his sin and be absolved. You know the story, the parable Nathan told David about one poor man who had one little ewe lamb, and he loved that lamb with all his heart. He treated it like a daughter. He fed it from his table. He even let it sleep on his bed. But there was a rich, wealthy man who lived next door to the poor man, who had many flocks, and he was throwing a banquet for his friends, his guest, and said, "Hey, I'm not sacrificing one of my lambs for the meal. Go get the poor man's lamb next door and kill it and cook it." David was infuriated. He said, "The man who has done this deserves to die." And Nathan extended his finger and pointed him out and said to him, "You, king, are the man." David confessed his sin. "I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan told him, "Be of good cheer. You shall not die," which is an absolution, "but the child that has been born to Bathsheba shall die." And indeed the child did. For the wages of sin is death. This child did not die for his own sin. He died for David's sin. And so sin is passed down. The wages of sin are willed, given in testament to each succeeding generation. It all comes from our genesis, from Adam. For we are the heirs of Adam's sin and guilt. You're the man, O king. You are the sinner. You are the one who has taken another man's wife. You are the one who has engineered this man's death. It is as though you drew back the bowstring that launched the arrows into his chest. It is as though you plunged the spears into his heart. It is as though you took the sword and whacked off his head. You are the man. And so we, when we hear God's law, when we hear the commandments, "Thou shalt not, thou shalt," that law points to each one of us and says, "Thou art the man, thou art the woman. And the wages of sin is death." We were reminded of that just a little while ago. As we came forward, you guys came forward, and I stood here behind the little stand that contains the ashes, that we are going to die. It's not hypothetical. It is real. It is more real than the cross is traced in ashes upon your foreheads. Remember, O man, dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Remember, O woman, dust you are, and to dust you shall return. And it is not hypothetical. Each of us, with every heartbeat, is getting closer and closer and closer to that time. And I could be the first one to drop over, to be snatched down by death. Or it could be one of you. But it is certainly going to come. God's verdict, God's judgment, the penalty God exacts upon us sinners. David was confronted with this. He was confronted with this in the death of his son. He was confronted with this as each year he noticed his head was grayer, that he wasn't as robust as he used to be, that his muscles had lost their tone. He was confronted with this in the rebellion of Absalom against him, and how Absalom himself died as a direct judgment of God upon David for his sin. And yet David did not despair. David did not give up and renounce the Lord. Yeah, David had in effect renounced the Lord when he sinned, as we in effect do. But here again, David's words, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast, unshakable love, according to your abundant mercy." Not according to what's in me, David was thinking. What's in me is sin and death and unrighteousness, rebellion against God, but according to your love, O Lord, according to your overflowing mercy, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions. My sin is ever before me, Lord. I know it. I see it. I recognize it. I acknowledge it. I confess it. And for David, it was not just some rote performance, which is always a temptation for us as we confess our sins in the liturgy. But it was something real. It was something heartbreaking. It was something that broke David and gave him a contrite heart, which God did not despise. You see, God has mercy upon sinners. God wills the death of no one. God wants no one to be lost, but all to come to faith and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. God wants all to be saved. We hear that in the epistle reading for this evening. And what God does through the gospel is reconcile sinners to himself. God creates a new heart within sinners, a clean heart. He renews a right spirit within them. He does not cast them away from his presence, nor take his Holy Spirit from them, but continually, day by day, through hearing the gospel, through returning to our baptism, as we remember the fact that we are called as God's people, he has placed his saving name forgiving upon us. He has declared us righteous. And by coming to the Holy Supper of our Lord, God graciously renews the joy of our salvation. Sin kills. David's son died on account of his sin. And in his great mercy and his steadfast love and his kindness, God gave his son over to death on a cross. Jesus, who is the righteous God, the second person of the Godhead, God the Son from all eternity, this Jesus asked God for mercy in the Garden of Gethsemane. If it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. And God said, his father said, no, drink this cup. Drain the dregs of death down. Be judged as the sinner. Be judged as the one who is going to become sin itself, so that my people who come to me through faith in you can become the very righteousness of God. Jesus pled for mercy, but then said, not my will be done, but your will. And he drank the cup. And because he drank the cup of suffering, because he drank the cup down of the sins of all the world, because he drank down the cup of God's condemnation, look what you can do. You can take up the cup of salvation. You can drink that cup of forgiveness, the cup of Jesus' blood. You can rejoice drinking that cup and say, my sins are forgiven. God has had mercy upon me. And your prayer can be that of David himself. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise, for you do not delight in anything I have done, but you delight in what your Son has done for me. You delight in him. Look around and you'll see people whose foreheads are smeared with ashes, smeared in the shape of a cross. Yeah, you're smeared. But notice the cross. Notice what it reminds you of. That Jesus died for you, that he entered into your death, that he took the blackness and the disfigurement of your sin and guilt upon himself, that he entered into death and was buried so that you might have life. You are smeared with Jesus. You are smeared with Jesus in your baptism. You are smeared with Jesus every time you make the sign of the cross. You are smeared with Jesus like a bagel is smeared with cream cheese. Except the cream cheese doesn't give the bagel eternal life. But Jesus gives you life. Life eternal. Through the forgiveness of all of your sins that he won for you on the cross. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus, your Lord. Amen.